The 5:35. All right, Amber?
Yes.
All right. Welcome to the Ways and Means. Call the meeting to order. Resolution 197, establishing policy to limit participation in party politics by appointees of Ulster County elected officials. This was amended. Everybody has a copy of the amended resolution, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I have not seen the amended version of it. If someone.
Number 197 in the.
It was sent out by Amber.
We're basically just waiving the Board of Elections from being included.
All right, any discussion? Someone move it first?
So moved.
Second, discussion? No discussion?
Rich, there was one line I was going to take out, and we'll have to do that on the floor if it passes.
You have to do it on the floor if it passes, correct?
Just to take out one line and just have it read right from candidate for county elective office and ensure the integrity of voting.
Where are you going?
I'm on the second whereas, the where you see it, where it gets crossed out, and prohibiting said employees from contributing any sum of money, that bit. We're going to continue, we're going to leave the and, that's crossed out. We're going to put that back in, and we're going to continue to take out all the way up to forces and. It'll just read ensure the integrity from elective office and ensure the integrity of Ulster County Department of Agency. So just that one line there.
Any other comments? I have a couple. Ken, you want to talk first or me?
You go ahead first.
All right. First of all, Joey, I mean, this was brought up, you brought in some information. One was the executive order of the county exec of Nassau. Reading what she actually did, that did not include everybody in the county. That was just for the employees of the county exec's office. So that's not canvassing the whole county.
I'll respond.
All right. So, what we're doing is a lot different than what Nassau did. Secondly, I think we're doing a disservice to a lot of volunteers who serve on various boards throughout Ulster County that they're not able to serve on those boards if they have, if they're part of being appointed to some kind of elected official. So I think we're doing a very big disservice to the volunteers that serve Ulster County. Joe?
I appreciate your opinion. I think it's worth noting that what she did, what she was able to do through executive order, and the seeing that it has to be 95% or close to it of the appointees are the executive appointees. So with what she did, she still had the majority of all appointees in Nassau County. So we're just adding, I think we're being more fair. If I came in here and just wanted to do executive appointees, everybody would be calling foul. We're just focusing on the exec. If we really believe that appointed officials, that look, there's pros and cons, but if some of us here agree that the pros outweigh the cons when you're talking about maybe getting some of politics and an opportunity for certain things that we don't like as far as what could potentially happen, and I think certain legislators have seen it and felt it here, even in our own county, and that's why this is being put up, and I think that's why it has the support it has. So I don't know, that was my opinion when you say it was just focused on the exec in Nassau County for two reasons. That's all she could do, and it did cover the majority of appointed officials.
I didn't do a lot of research in regarding that. I think that would eliminate a lot more people that we are trying to encompass on what we're doing here today. We're trying to do here today. It would be different.
It would.
I mean, a lot of the volunteers that we have that are probably going to be affected by this, if this is passed, she is not covering that in her executive order.
No, she's covering her appointees.
Just her appointees. She has her staff.
Yeah,
her
county exec staff. But the majority of appointees in her county are her appointment, was my point.
Yeah, but there's other departments that's not covered by her executive order.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want clarification because it hadn't occurred to when you're talking about volunteers. Because I I agree with the intent of what Joe's trying to do, and after the caucus conversation last week, I think the exception of the commissioners of the Board of Elections makes sense, because by definition those are partisan positions. But what I want to make sure isn't happening, which did not occur to me until just this minute, when you speak of volunteers, Rich, because the, let's just use the legislature as an example, and this just came into my head now hearing the word volunteers, we appoint boards, all kinds of volunteer boards, like soil and water, I'm on the, does that mean every volunteer board, or aren't you, wasn't this trying to capture basically staff paid?
Yeah.
This is supposed to, where you're trying to capture paid staff, but you're bringing up that it may actually capture
in my mind, it's not clear enough. This would be encompassing of a lot of volunteer boards that we appoint.
Okay, so that's
clarification
that
for the
I did
attorneys,
not
if
think
you
guys right now, but I would want
to. I was under the impression that volunteers would not be, but we can sure specify that volunteers don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I mean, how do you interpret it as right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had a couple of observations. That was one of them, is that it does appear to apply to all appointees, which would obviously include uncompensated employees. So if there's a policy decision that you want to carve them out, that would have to be specified.
Nick, would it cover just by saying compensated?
You might want to, I know some of the boards get reimbursed for expenses, so you wouldn't want to necessarily include that. If your only intent is to include salary,
yes,
you may want to specify that. Procedurally, you know, we just, in our council's meeting with the county attorney just before this committee meeting, we discussed the form that this is coming in the form of a resolution, and the question was raised as to why this is not being presented in the form of a local law to amend the ethics law, since the Board of Ethics would ultimately be charged with enforcing this policy. If there was a complaint that came up, that's where it would be adjudicated. So for reasons of legislative equivalency, and frankly for reasons of notice to incoming appointees and employees, the thought from the county attorney was, this is most appropriate, and I tend to agree with it, it's most appropriate in the form of an amendment to the ethics law as opposed to a policy brought on by way of resolution. That's a procedural issue which we can put before the committee to think about. That was just discussed at our council's meeting this afternoon. One other thing that we brought up was the definition of a local party official, or if that is defined in the resolution. It simply indicates any office or position of authority, and the question was raised as to whether you should clearly define that to mean, for example, an executive office like chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, or our own ethics law actually has a definition of local party official in it, so you can theoretically refer to that if you want to clarify exactly what you were prohibited. The final thing that I was looking to raise was that this did not appear to apply to prospective appointees. So, in other words, it would only apply to appointees of sitting elected officials. But if you were working for someone who was running for an office, it doesn't seem to apply to you. So that's a policy issue more than a legal issue. But as far as the observations that I had, those were pretty much it.
The strongest one, the thing that I'd like to definitely get specific about in here, what I would like to say salaried, so that's covered. It was never the intent. I had talked to Chris at length. I wish he was here about some of the other points. I feel more comfortable moving forward on some of the other points you made. I would like to amend in salaried. I mean, I think that would be pretty straightforward, wouldn't it, once you put that in? Salaried appointees?
I think that would clarify the ambiguity on that particular issue.
I mean, like you said before, you can't do it here, you do it on the floor.
Yeah, sure.
Ken?
I respect very much the intention behind bringing this forward. I've got some, I want to say ideological, but personal concerns with it. I think that political speech and participation in the political process and the way someone sees fit is one of the hallmarks of our democracy, one of the hallmarks of our country. And I think that limiting that based on an assumption that just serving is a conflict of, you know, serving in these capacities is a conflict of interest, I just can't reconcile myself to support restricting that political advocacy.
Yep.
I think if you think about it on the national stage, if you had the Attorney General as the head of the Republican Party or Democratic Party, I mean, I think everyone would take issue with that and see what that could arise. And so you're kind of looking. I had a former legislator bring that up to me, say, hey, use that as an example. And I thought it was interesting and worth saying. So I don't look at it that way. I don't think, like, I think we're really we're protecting people with this.
Mark?
Yeah, I would just add that notwithstanding procedural issues that legislative council brought up, I just want to clarify that the intent of this is actually just taking away the rights of American citizens to participate in the democratic process. And legislature is going to do what they wish, but it just seems like the wrong thing to do.
Hector?
So I guess this is just more, I'm not getting into right now the, I'm actually okay with the intent behind this. New Paltz did something similar to this back in the 90s. But my real question at this point is, in the resolved, it's really more a matter of just replacing the appointees with staff, right? I mean, that's ultimately, Joe, the fix that would need to be to kind of hem this in, correct?
Yeah. If you say staff, I'm sorry.
Or everybody. I mean, yeah.
If you say staff, it might run into civil service positions, which is going to run you into problems.
That's why I thought
appointed staff.
Mixed salary.
Appointed staff, maybe?
Or management confidential. I mean, you could go and basically go and say the management confidential positions.
I think the way Legislator Maloney had mentioned it, about salaried appointees, I think that solves the problem the same way.
Tracy?
Yeah. I feel a little uncomfortable about fixing it on the fly. I want to make sure that because unlike some, I respect the diversity of opinion here, but I don't have, like Hector, so much of a problem with the intent, because I also, I mean, there are examples, the Hatch Act on a national level, on the federal level, limits participation from within the White House and others that doesn't make necessarily as much sense, but within the White House. And you can still be on a committee. We're not saying you can't be on a committee. We're just talking about positions of power within the committee, but I want to make sure that that the language is correct. And I'm not sure that I want to be clear that salaried staff is going to capture it correctly, or salaried appointments. I might want to take time and just get it right for next month and hear the critical concerns, but I'm open to hearing what everybody's saying.
I was just going to say, based on what you said, maybe taking the time to put the language right, and maybe even putting a list of, you know, where it would impact, so everybody has a sense of what you're really saying. I think that could be helpful in clarifying it.
Right now, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that, you know, we don't have answers to. You're going to change it on the floor. Somebody might have a difference of opinion. There's no urgency in doing this, but there again, Joe, it's your resolution.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask a question of Nick, since he brought up, to circle back to an earlier point. You brought up the possibility, or that at the council meeting you talked about it being a part of an ethics law versus a policy. What in that meeting came out as the benefit to having it live there versus as being
a
policy?
Well, I think the two things that we discussed, one is that it's a legal concept of legislative equivalency, which means if you have something in effect that was brought to effect by a certain device here, the charter, by local law, you should really only add to or change that by the same device, i.e. a local law. So that's a legal issue. The pragmatic issue brought up is, if you're going to expect appointees to be in compliance with this policy, and this is, you know, not a criticism of the way our laws are cataloged, but the charter is very easily accessible. The ethics law is, I think, actually published to new employees in their handbook. A policy, who knows where it goes? It passes a resolution, and it's out there. And you had, you know, we recently had the past session the policy from 2001 about procurement policy, and no one knew about how that was being implemented or how it was being looked at. So we thought there was more of a notice or a fairness due process issue for these appointees to have it as a part of our law as opposed to a resolution.
And for clarification, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you saying if it were a part of the ethics law, when you talk about due process, that there's a procedure whereby the appointees would be held accountable or go through a due process should they violate, versus if it's passed as is, tell me what happens if we have an appointee staff member who refuses to step down from their position of committee position, and the person who makes the appointment refusing to remove them.
Right, the policy doesn't articulate that. So if it were a local law, a part of the ethics law, then it's going to be adjudicated by the Board of Ethics.
Which is also the best I've heard to go through the ethics board
for
the repercussions aspect of it. So I heard three or four main points. I don't mind pushing it off to the next meeting and getting are there any other concerns, even if you're not going to vote for it or you are, if you like it, if you don't, what are the concerns so I can hammer them out, go back and forth with Chris and Nick, and even get the county attorney's opinion so the next time we sit down, we're voting on it, whether we either like it or we don't, rather than...
You want to pull this?
Here.
You want to pull this?
He's going to withdraw it.
Hold it over to next month.
Postpone
to next month?
Nick, can you email me, especially the ethics part of that, so I can have an in-depth conversation with a couple of
people? Hold on, Joe. We got 7 minutes to do the rest of it. Okay. You can touch base with Nick and everybody else regarding that. Is everybody, Joe, want to put that in a formal motion that we're going to hold
postpone.
This
all? I'll postpone.
Till next month?
Second.
Any discussion? All right. In the meantime, if you have any questions, concerns, please get them to Nick or Joe.
Can you open that?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 244 through.
We have 244 separate.
244 separate. Authorize the purchase of installation emergency communications equipment.
Move.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 262 through.
272.
272.
Move to bundle.
Bundle. Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. On the resolution.
On the
resolution. That's on the bundle.
On the bundle.
On the resolution, I move it.
Move it. Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 276, Amendment Capital Project 334, Kingston Rail Trail. Authorize the chairman to execute agreement certifications right away, amending 2018 capital fund budget.
So moved.
Second. Discussion. Nothing for Chris?
It's
easy? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I never want to add anything.
Take it while it's good.
Resolution 277, authorizing the finance acquisition of land rights and the land for the Kingston Rail Trail for a maximum estimate cost of $60,000. Authorize the issue of 60,000 bonds. Moved. Second.
Second.
This Terry. Three.
If you have a question,
Tracy.
I'm glad to answer it.
Yeah. What we're authorizing up to $60,000. But do we have land that we know we need to acquire?
This is the connector trail from the Hurley Rail Trail to Washington Avenue. It will go along the historic O&W Railroad, which was pulled out 5 decades ago. It's owned by 3 landowners, 2 of whom probably will donate the easements, but this is a pro forma thing that we have to do for DOT. The project is also 100% reimbursable. It's 80% federal, 20% state. So my hope is we're going to authorize this, and then I don't have to spend any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have it in case we need it. And we're trying to move that project to construction by the end of this year.
Any other discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
278, approving the execution of contracts in excess of $50,000 for Buddy County, Harrison and Burroughs Bridge Contractors, Department
Second.
Of Public Works. Move. Second. Discussion? If not, roll call. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any new business? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to let the committee members know, you know, I've added a member to the Ways and Means Committee, Legislator Mayo. You know, moving into the budget season, I thought it'd be good to have another voice on Ways and Means, and I had a conversation with Legislator Mayo, and her schedule opened up a little bit and allowed for her to be able to serve, so.
Do we have a move on that?
No, I get it.
Congratulations.
Land
first, then Amanda Jo, then
no,
Tracy.
Go ahead, because I have a different topic.
All right, Amanda Jo first, then Tracy.
No, mine's a very different topic.
All right, okay. Tracy, what's your different one, too?
Mine's the same topic. I'm surprised, and it's nothing against Legislator Mayo, but I'm concerned about the balance of the minority versus majority when you're a standing member of the committee as an absolute. So did you take that into consideration?
I'd be happy to sit out of the room if that's a concern for you.
I don't mean right now.
No, I mean, I'm saying in future committee meetings. I mean, if that's a concern, I've got no opposition to that.
We know what's going on.
Another conspiracy theory.
No, I think there's obviously, you have the ability to do that, and you're looking for influence on Ways and Means. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. There's nothing we can do about it, so we'll...
Well, I don't think that's the case. I mean, Beth adds a lot to the Ways and Means Committee, and I think she's an asset to the committee.
Does everyone else agree with that?
That could be said of many legislators. I mean, that's why I'm saying it's not specific about Mary Beth. You could say the same about Legislator Green, if you were to add Legislator Green, or Legislator Rodriguez, if you were to add them. Mm-hmm. That's not... I mean, I don't think this is about Legislator Mayo by name. This is about... The balance of power, which has traditionally been a fair representation of both. I mean, obviously, the majority party could put as many members as they want, but it just...
Which I would never do. I'd never...
Right, but it's just, it doesn't... You know, if you're going to add one Republican, you probably should add one Democrat.
I actually would have, but the resolution... I mean, if we want to amend the resolution creating the standing committees... The resolution creating the standing committees only empowers me to create committees within between 5 and 8 members.
Really?
Yeah, honest to God.
Strange.
Yes, you want to pass those down.
If that's something you feel would make it more equitable, Trace, I'm not necessarily opposed to exploring that. But we'd have to amend the resolution that we passed in January to create the committees.
I would respectfully ask that then we could talk about it in our caucus today and come back on that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah. You know where to find me.
Anna Jo, first. Anna Jo?
I think Lynn's is more relevant.
All right, everybody's so gracious today.
I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. I've been working with Rich. And we've been talking to Mike about an enhanced budget process, kind of improving it. We have a lot of new legislators, and it's about how department heads and the standing committees can have dialogues about, you know, kind of where we're at in the budget process today and then for the future as a way of getting the new legislators. And I think all of us will benefit from that kind of conversation and dialogue. So you know, there's been an outline, there's been plenty of conversations. We're going to sit down with Mike and go through it. But I just wanted folks to know that we are putting out some recommendations we think will enhance the budget process for everyone. So, Rich, do you want to add anything?
Well, I mean, I want to commend you on your hard work. I mean, she did probably 99.9% of the work.
Oh, we worked together on it.
But there again, we can have all the best laid ideas. Unfortunately, the county exec has to concur with it. Of course, it's his budget until he turns it over to us. And then from that point, you know, we need his assistance through his department heads to basically educate us and give us some background regarding the budget itself, why it was changed this way or that way, why things were added or deleted. So hopefully we could have a working relationship.
Yeah.
Now, are you looking to get the structure of the budget changed at all?
It's really about a process of communication and an understanding within the standing committees where departments at are against this year's budget and what we're expecting to see through the end of the year. And then as we go into next year's, once the exec presents his budget to kind of have some breakdowns in the committees again with department heads and kind of familiarizing folks with more detail around the budget so that it is, so as we're appropriating and making decisions, we're better informed, and the committees have had conversations with department heads and representatives from the exec side. So we have a kind of a deep dive on what they're presenting.
Organizational charts. Specific
well,
rules,
we're in the
like
midst
that.
Of. I don't want to get ahead of us.
Well, you're not going to have that this year. I mean, basically, if we get this implemented, it'll be from what's presented in the budget, and they would educate us and give us the reasoning why they came up with that number versus a different number in the budget.
Oh, but that's numbers. I'm talking about the layout of the budget. Can we
the
get lay, the
layout of the budget?
Charts?
We have no say over it.
We have to walk before we run. So let's
budget.
Start the
yeah,
process
we
had, going.
We don't have a budget until he gives it to us. Okay, and then we can do whatever we want with the budget. Regarding that, but there again, there's a format how he gives us the budget, when he gives it to us, and what's in there is his until we alter it in any way. Just so that Lynn knows and everybody else knows, I mean, we had discussions probably. What's the charter's been in existence for how many years? Seven, eight? What is it? Seven
nine.
Years? How many?
No, longer.
Oh, 08, oh, 09.
Ten
years?
Ten.
Basically, you know, I spoke to Mike 9 years ago and told him that we should, as legislators, be part of the process of making the budget up. You know, when he brings in department heads to, you know, have one legislator there from the different department of the committee, and, you know, so that we're well aware why the numbers are where they are. I mean, we don't even know what the original numbers are, at least I don't know what they are, and, you know, why they changed and what's the end result. But unfortunately, that did not happen. I don't see that happening. But there again, hopefully, like Lynn said, these are some small steps. Hopefully, we can expand them, make them giant steps in the future. But we'll start small and see where we can go from there. But thank you, Lynn, for your hard efforts. Manager Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else want to talk before Manager Joe?
last month, we came to you about to hold a training for the Green Business Challenge, and we had over 45 volunteers sign up and take that training. There will be ongoing opportunities. So now we're ready to actually officially launch the Green Business Challenge. So we're hosting a breakfast for businesses on Wednesday, June 27th at 7:30 at the Best Western. It'll be a chamber style breakfast. And the interest is very high. And if you do plan to come, there's a way to pre-register so you can just walk right in. And we will have case studies by green business leaders, Frost Valley, possibly Iron Mountain. They're not confirmed yet, but we have a whole list of businesses that have taken the initiatives that the Green Business Challenge is asking 100 new businesses to take. And so it'll be a business-to-business event, and then there'll be experts in the room, and you can do speed dating. If you're interested in solar, you go to this table. If you're interested in electric vehicles and charging stations, you go to another table. And there will be a vendor show, and I think the feedback is that it's filling up very nicely, so it should be a really valuable and exciting event. And that gives us 6 months to get 100 businesses to actively participate and make a change that they might not otherwise have made. And there will be information on the existing incentives and financing. Thank you.
Thank you, Manager. Any other thing? Anything else? If not, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Legislators considered some of the things.
605.